Let's just open in prayer. Father, we just love you. Father, you're so good. You're so kind. But you're holy. Father, you said in your word that those who come near you, you must be regarded as holy. Father, this morning as I share, Father, just teach us who you are and how you wanted us to relate to you. Father, just allow your word to go and touch each heart in this place. In Jesus' name. So if you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. As I was reading this, Jesus appeared to 500. He appeared to many other people. I wonder how many started up out in the upper room. And day one, and day two, all the way down to day 10. How many dropped off? We know there was 120 left. But with one accord, as I was looking at this, it means people together in one room with no walls. No divisions between any of them. In perfect unity. And you know what? They could contain the glory. When the fire of God fell, they could contain it because there was no walls, no disunity, nothing between them. So when the fire fell, it could contain them. In Leviticus, when the sons of Aaron offered a strange fire, the fire fell and it killed them. In Acts chapter 5, when Ananias brought an offering, the fire was there and it killed them. That's in the New Testament, guys, by the way. See, he's holy. And the more of his presence and the more of his glory, the more we got to walk in holiness. Do you want an outpouring of the Spirit of God? You do? See, in James chapter 3, and I'm not going to go there, in James chapter 3 it says, where there's strife and envy and strife and division, confusion and every evil thing are there. So the doorway to hell is that. Well, the doorway of heaven is as a Christian, walking in holiness with no walls, and it opens heaven. Think about your home. When mom and dad are happy and in unity, how much peace you got in that place. When one of you is out of sorts, what does it feel like at home? You don't want to be there, right, guys or ladies? Why? Because it's actually a doorway of hell into your house. I don't like hell in my house. I don't like staying in houses where they have hell in their house. I can't sleep in those places. You can tell if you walk into a house if they're happy campers or not. You can feel it in the atmosphere. How much more to have peace and the presence of God. So I'm going to read that in Leviticus. I read this here, and I'm going to go to Leviticus for a minute. If you want to follow me, it's up to you on whatever you got there in Leviticus chapter 10. And I'll be back here later. But so the two sons of Aaron each took a censer and put fire in it and put incense in it and offered a profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And a fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified." I'm not going to go further in the chapter, but he also gave them a warning of not coming drunk before the Lord. That's in the scripture. And Jewish tradition says they came drunk in Jewish writings and tradition. So they disregarded God's holiness. They came seeking intimacy with God outside of a covenant relationship. And I never thought of that before. That came to me this morning is they had a covenant with God, but they violated that covenant, but still wanted intimacy with God. See, He's a holy God. And when we fall into sin or our flesh does something, we should be running to God. We shouldn't be covering that up and still want an intimate relationship with God. God loves us. See, the verse He gave me when I was a little boy is in Romans 12, and God kind of put this together for me as I was reading this. I had never thought of this before this morning. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 at 2, and I'm going to take it back into Leviticus in a minute. He said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God's saying, present yourself holy and acceptable to me. He's a holy, righteous God. And He's saying to the church, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Don't let our flesh run away with us. I mean, there's no end to what the flesh can do. You just look. The only way we can walk with God in our covenant relationship is walking in the Spirit with Him. And I'm going to go over now into 2 Corinthians. I will go back into Leviticus in a bit here. In 2 Corinthians, we need to know who we are in Him. If we're going to walk in holiness, we need to know what He's done. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, in verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. In other words, we're not our own. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. You could say this, we don't look at people according to what their flesh may be doing at the time. Look at what God's done in them and what their value and destiny is in God. Okay? Look at them like what God, how God sees them. And what they need to become. He goes on, Paul goes on to say this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's who you are in Christ. Verse 21 says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So we're God's righteousness. We're new creations in Christ. That's who we are. Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church. Corinth was probably like our Las Vegas. Well, it's like everywhere now. They had a lot of immorality in that whole culture. And I think that's kind of what we got in our culture now today. But Paul was correcting the church. He was telling them who they are, that's not who they are. That's not who God created them to be. Okay? And then he brings in chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, we then are workers together with Him. We plead you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You know, we can receive God's grace in vain and continue walking even though we know what we're doing is wrong. How many know that's not good? That'll get you killed. It may not kill you physically, but it'll kill your spirit. It'll separate you away from God. He never moved. He's still looking at what he created you for and to be. Who moved? We did. See, if you look at the context, Paul is bringing correction to the Corinthian church for their lifestyle. He says, come on, guys, let's walk in holiness. You're a new creation in Christ. Them old things are gone. You don't have to go back to what you were or what happened. That's not who you are anymore. You're a child of the King now. And he said in verse 11 to the Corinthian church, he said, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us. You're restricted by your own affections. He goes on to talk about being unequally yoked, but he said, what you love in the natural is actually stopping you from your destiny. So what God has put in you, we heard Robert Morse speaking about the tests, if you've been in Sunday school and looking at them lessons. How many know we face tests of life? Well, we pass the humility test, which he was sharing some on that this morning. Paul goes on to say in verse 16, he said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. He said, I will dwell with them, I'll walk with them, I'll be their God, they shall be my people. He said, come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters. Just look at that invitation. There's nothing in this world that you need other than him. Because if you got him, you got everything. You got everything you need. He looks after you. God blesses me. I'm blessed. See, he goes on to say, and this is where I wanted to get to. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. God is calling the church to holiness. He's saying, walk in holiness. Why? Because he wants to pour his spirit out on you. He wants to pour his spirit on your home, your church, your workplace. God wants you to walk in holiness because he wants to walk with you. And we limit him in ways. He said, open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. And Paul says, I don't say this to condemn. See, what Satan does is he'll trick you into sin and then condemn you after you're done. God doesn't condemn you. He's saying, come back to me. I don't know about you, but he convicts my heart. And you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done that. And repentance takes down that wall between me and God. It's gone. See, and that's what Paul is telling the Corinthian church. He's saying, come back to God. Come and walk in holiness in the fear of God. The Holy Spirit came to earth on the day of Pentecost. He's here. If you want to walk with him, you have to walk in holiness. He's holy. He'll meet you where you are and bring you up to where he is. Do we listen? Okay? He said in verse 10, he says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted with sorrow of the world which produces death. I always, maybe have a different interpretation, but the sorrow of the world is sorry I got caught. How many, you know, your kids are kind of sorry they get caught. But godly sorrow brings repentance. And it takes down the walls and the divisions. You know, maybe between your family members, between you and God, definitely. It takes the walls away and allows you to walk in that unity and that. How many, y'all know if you're married, you know, you can tell if there's unity or not pretty quick, guys. You want me to give a lady a mic? But you understand what I'm talking about. When you have that unity in your home, how many know that's good? And you can feel it if it's not there. Well, God wants us to be in unity with Him no matter where we're going, whatever we're doing, whatever we do during our day. God wants us to walk in unity with Him. You may slip, you may fall, well, get up. God has a destiny for you. And if you look at the context, you know, God isn't up there with a big stick beating on us. He's saying, come on, you can do this. This is what I created you for. So this morning as I was reading this, you know, and God brought me, I'm going to go back into Romans 1. He said to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, because God wants to pour His fire out on you. He wants you to carry His presence. He wants you to carry His presence. Just like in the day of Pentecost, they carried the presence of God. And they changed their, those 120 changed the world. We got probably that many here this morning. Will we carry His presence? But as I was reading that this morning, God put it in context to what was happening back in Leviticus. So I'm going to go back there for a minute. In Leviticus, in chapter 9, right before there, 10, 9, let me see where we are here. Herod lifted his hand toward the people in 9 verse 22. They had offered burnt sacrifices and offerings, and Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them, and came down from an off. I've got to put these on again. And came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared upon all the people, and the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering, the fat on the altar. When the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. So if you look at the order, the sacrifice was made, okay? The blessing came, and then the fire came. Well, guess who's supposed to be on that altar? Aren't we supposed to be the living sacrifice? Back in Romans 12, aren't we the living sacrifice? And then the blessing comes, then the fire comes. Isn't that who we are? We hear preached in North America a lot now about the blessing, but not a whole lot about what comes before it. See, if you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, the blessing will come. This follows in order. I never saw that before this morning as I was reading that. Where the order came. And Moses blessed the people. And I guess that's on my heart is, are we committed? to walking in holiness as living sacrifices. Because the blessing will follow. God will take care of you. But if all my focus and attention is on the natural world and blessings and I'm chasing after that, I kind of miss the point. I kind of got the cart out in front of the horse. I did that for quite a few years. But will you turn off things that aren't holy? Will you shut off things that aren't holy? Will you not take that into your spirit? Because what you put in comes out your mouth, by the way. God wants you to be able to contain Him. He wants you to be able to contain His presence. I don't know how people live without walking in God's presence. I have no idea. I know what it's like when He's not there, and I don't like that at all. I like walking with God in His presence. Even if you have a bad day, God's still there. So God is challenging the church, you know. And another thought He put on my mind, if I'm preaching or sharing from a position that is not based in being a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, then He showed me a little thing. I was on a mountaintop, and I was starting strange fires. How many know the wildfire in Fort Mac made a mess? Well, when the church is in unity and we're walking properly, it's like in your home when you got a fire in your stove that's heating the house. And you're all warm, and that fire is bringing contentment into your house. But when it's coming from strife or division, it's a wildfire, and it brings destruction. And He said some more things about it, but I don't know if I should share it at times, because how many of God's blunt? He's blunt about some things to get your attention. He got my attention. He said it's unprotected sex. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Outside of a covenant relationship of marriage, sex is a wildfire that'll kill you. It'll destroy what's around. But in the context of a marriage, it's like a nice warm stove in your home. That's what sin is. It's a wildfire that will destroy you. Okay? It will destroy you. It may feel good, but it will destroy you. God is calling the church to walk in holiness and purity. Because that's who He is. That's who He is. And the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and dropped on the 120. And they could contain the fire. They didn't die. Well, guess what? God wants to drop His Holy Spirit into your home, into your life. Will you allow Him? See, we're living in the day of grace. where God just gives us what we can handle. It's not like back in the Old Testament that they, you know. I don't know if you realize, but history said when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around his leg. So if he died in there, they could pull him out. If there was any sin, if he didn't do everything just right, he would die. But what does God say to you? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. Come in. The door's open. Will you come? See, God isn't restrained on his side. We allow things in our life to put walls between us and God. That's what sin does. It puts walls up. And it stops you. Because sin brings condemnation, and condemnation causes you to back away from God and bow in condemnation. But holiness, you can walk in straight to God. You can go into his presence like a child. There's no fear of the bad kind. There's the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, but there's no of the scared, that type of thing. It's like a child going to his father. Because I have no walls between us, I can come boldly. So I just encourage you this morning. Will you give him your life as a living sacrifice? Will you allow him to pour out on you? God is wanting to pour his blessing on us. But it starts, will we give him our lives as a living sacrifice? Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. God is calling the church to holiness. You know, he's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Some people say that's in our age. I hope it is. That'll be a great day. But we know he's coming again. And he's coming for his church because he loves them. He's so good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and mercy. Father, I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit, that he's here now, that he's residing upon us. Father, that we would be living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to you, which is our reasonable service. Father, as we come near you, we would regard you as holy, that that's who you are, that we would regard you in that way. And Father, that we would come fearlessly before you because our relationship has no walls. Father, if I have walls in my life between you and me or others, Father, that I repent of those things. Father, you say godly sorrow produces repentance. Father, as we look at our hearts this morning, that we look at any places that we may have walls between others or walls between you, Father, we just repent of those things. We ask for your forgiveness. And Father, that we would again sense an outpouring and flow of your Spirit through us. And I thank you, Father, that you're so good to us in this place. Father, you value us, you treasure us, and that you make a way for us where there seems to be no way. Father, you see those this morning that have been hurted or wounded. Father, you just want to touch those places this morning. You just want to heal those hurts and wounds. But we need to come to you with them. And Father, we need to release those people that may have hurt or wounded us and allow those things to go. And Father, we purpose to walk before you in holiness. And thank you so much, Father. Amen. Don't we serve a good God? Isn't he good? So just purpose. Put him first. Purpose to walk in holiness.